Oh my goodness. I can't believe it is just days before Christmas.
It's so fast.
I know. And I'm panicking.
Shelly hasn't shopped.
That's right. Neither has Sandy.
But it's awesome just thinking about just the birth of our Savior and just everything that goes along with it and just the reason for this season. So as long as I keep that out front, I think I'm going to make it.
Yay!
Awesome. Well, Tara, I think you have some great stuff for us today.
You know, I'm excited. We're going to be starting a new series. I cannot believe we finished another series. It just blows my mind. And I keep thinking, okay, Lord, what are we going to do next? I don't know, my limited brain. Oh, there's nothing else that we could do. And then he always says, yes, there is. And because I have spent the last season, the whole fall, preparing and prepping and doing discipling for the Open Door Mission, God just really put it on my heart that we're to continue that, and we're going to do it here on the radio. And so this series is going to be called On Making Disciples. And we're going to slowly walk through how Jesus made disciples. And the first series part of this, we will actually look at the beginning of discipleship, what it looked like, the calling out of the disciples, preparing, how Jesus modeled, how he revealed truths to them. And so that'll be the first 8 months. And we'll face the next part where he gets them into the next stage of descending and going. And what a better place to start than I'm going to set the context for our biblical passage today and get us ready for this. And, you know, we have to realize, and as Sandy was saying before the radio show, how fun that this story that we're about to do today on Jesus in the wilderness, that the background information is that the time in history had finally reached a point where God said, my son needs to come. It's time for him to enter earth and do his thing to fulfill my will. And God lovingly sent from the throne of heaven his son as a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes, left him lying in the manger. And as the song reminds us, no crib for his bed. And Jesus came in and was born for us
right?
As a savior for all of mankind, for anyone who believes they'll be saved. But scripture then kind of remains silent. Scripture doesn't really tell us a whole lot about Jesus's childhood. We have one verse that sums it up in Luke 2:52. It tells us Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And then the next thing you know, we have Jesus showing up when John the Baptist, the one sent to prepare the way for Christ, and he's out in the wilderness baptizing people. Jesus shows up and says, you know, you need to baptize me. And he's like, no way. And Jesus says, yeah, you know, in order to fulfill all righteousness, this needs to happen. And so John agreed. And then the voice of heaven speaks out and says, this is my son whom I love and I am well pleased. That sets the context of what is about to happen. As soon as that happens, the scripture tells us that Jesus was led into the wilderness. And this is in Matthew 4:1-11. And this is what the Bible says. Led by the Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Now he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights. And after all that fasting, he was hungry. And this is when Satan came to Jesus and he said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Well, Jesus responded to Satan by saying, it is written in Scripture, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Satan then took Jesus to the highest point in the temple, and he said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he will command his angels to lift you up. They will not even let your feet hit a stone. And Jesus said, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So Satan then took Jesus to the very highest point in the mountains, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and everything that was of their splendor. And he says, I will give you all of this if you will bow down and worship me. And at that, Jesus turned and he said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Well, at that point, Satan left Jesus and the angels came and ministered to him. May God honor the telling of his word. So that is our passage today. We have set before us an example of the Spirit of God leading Jesus into the wilderness. And what we're going to do is we're going to take this process and we're going to take the story of Jesus' temptation and we're going to ask a series of questions and begin to dialogue. One of the things that I'm really pressing in on and really thinking about, and I really want us to be using this a lot, oftentimes in a teaching setting, it is easy for me to go in and just lecture and talk. But people do not learn as much if somebody lectures. But if we ask them questions in such a way to where they have to look at the passage and dialogue with the passage, people will grow a lot quicker than if we lecture them. And so I'm going to use the questions to help walk us through the passages. And that's kind of the method we'll be using over in this series of discipling, because guess what? That's what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus used parables, and he used questions amongst some of the teachings that he did. So we're going to go through, and as a group, I'm going to ask questions, and I want you to tell me back the Bible story. Okay, so after Jesus was baptized and the Father said to him, this is my Son whom I love and with him I'm well pleased. What does the Bible tell us in Matthew 4? It says that Jesus was led by who?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And where did the Holy Spirit lead Jesus?
To the wilderness.
Okay, he led him out into the wilderness. And Scripture tells us that he was led into the wilderness for a reason. Why was Jesus led into the wilderness?
He was trying to tempt him.
To be tempted by Satan.
To be tempted, to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Satan's testing him. And in that time frame, Shelley, how long did Jesus stay there? How long was he there?
He was there for 40 days. Sorry, I'm really into this passage. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights fasting.
And what is it? How does Scripture describe for us what was happening to Jesus after that 40 days and 40 nights? What was happening to his body?
He was very hungry.
He was very hungry.
Yeah.
And in his hunger, what happens? Who comes to him?
Satan. Mm-hmm.
Satan comes in. Okay. And then Satan begins to do a series of questions, or really not even questions. It's more like he's making statements, but he's questioning Jesus' identity. What is the first statement that Satan makes about Jesus, Tanya?
He says, if you are God, then tell these stones to become bread.
Okay. So. All right. So he says, if.
Yeah, I love that word, if.
That's huge. That one word. And I want y'all to recognize that he says that if. Mm-hmm. And listen for when he says that if. Because by asking if, what is he saying? What is he testing on Christ? What is he challenging? By saying if.
From my perspective, he's challenging the truth.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really
the
God?
Sovereignty and the power and the authority that he should have.
Right.
If you are who you say you are, then you should be able to do these things.
Prove it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue. Let's continue walking through. And once we're done walking through, there's a reason why I'm re-walking us through the passage. As we're walking through it with these questions, in your mind, the story is becoming set. Okay, what is happening is that you are creating in your mind a mental map of this Bible passage, which will equip you to better tell this Bible passage in your own words so that you will be a better communicator of what we have studied. All right, then Jesus looks at Satan and he makes a statement about the Word of God. Mm-hmm. What does Jesus state the Word of God says? Sandy.
Well, he loves it. He says, it is written.
It is written.
It is written.
It is written.
Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
All right. So food is not the issue always. It can be more than just food, right?
Correct.
Okay? And so he says, if, and he says it is written in Scripture. So Satan does the questioning with if, and Jesus does a retaliation with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we pay attention to that, how they respond to each other.
Sure.
Okay, and then we have Satan comes at him one more time. So it's not just he comes after him with the bread. Now he's coming after him with something else. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Satan takes Jesus into Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And in Jerusalem, at the highest point of the temple, Satan says something else. Shelley, what does he say this time?
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down.
Okay.
Let me go.
No, go ahead.
Okay, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
Okay. All right. So he starts to quote Scripture back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Jesus quoted Scripture. Satan's like, okay, you're going to quote Scripture. I'm going to quote Scripture. And so they begin this Scripture retaliation. Mm-hmm. Jesus ends up answering him very simply, Tanya.
Jesus says, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Okay, good. And then Satan comes up and he takes him to an even greater place, which is the higher mountain. So we've gone from lowly earth with bread to Jerusalem, to the temple, to the highest point of a mountain. And at the top of the mountaintop, what is revealed to Jesus by Satan? What does he show him? All the kingdoms of the world. Okay, all the splendor.
Entire splendor, yep.
Everything. And he asked Jesus to do something. What does he want Jesus to do?
Hmm. Bow down to him.
And worship Satan.
And worship him.
Okay. And Jesus at this point is like, away from me, Satan. He doesn't put up with it anymore. And he says what?
Worship the Lord your God and serve him alone.
I love it. Dobie Stereo, all three of you. And then at that point, Satan flees and the angels minister to him. So we've recapped the Bible passage. Now let's take the time and let's start looking at this and breaking it down. The first time you read through this, what is the thing that most stands out to you about this passage? What most stands out as you think on, you've read through it and you've looked at it?
I think when you're tempted, just like when Jesus was, you need the Word of God.
Okay, good.
Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, that when you're angry or bitter, it's time to go to the Bible and find out what God says about that.
Okay.
And use those scriptures to fight Satan.
Okay. What about you, Tanya, when you first read it? What comes to your mind?
I think I'm always going back to the fact that it was right after Jesus was baptized, mm-hmm. right when he is about to start his earthly ministry, mm-hmm. and then it's the Spirit that took him to the wilderness. So this is God's plan.
Yeah.
And so that's right. I think it's something we share all the time to people that after they're baptized, be prepared. Your trial
is coming.
Yeah, the wilderness time is going to happen.
That's right.
To mm-hmm. make them aware.
It's important to be aware because it's a shock.
Being a Christian doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It isn't easy. Mm-mm. And I think people think that sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, wow, why is this
happening
to me?
So they're surprised, right?
It was God's will that Jesus be hungry.
Mm-hmm.
He had sent him there. Okay, Shelley, what's your name? I was going through all the names, Shelley.
She came up with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Shelley, as you think on this one, what stands out to you the most?
I think the thing for me is just the fact that, you know, really Satan is relentless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he doesn't just, you know, tempt us once, you know, and not just twice. Mm-hmm. I mean, but it's three times, and it isn't until, you know, Jesus is firm with him and
away.
Just says, away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's good. That's really good. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've studied and read this passage. And just today, as I was going through and reading it again, it just shows you how the word is in layers. God ended up ministering to me again in another layer of truths that it just like, wow. Okay, I hadn't thought of that before. And we're going to let that unfold as we go through the next three more weeks that we'll follow up with this lesson. We'll dialogue through those. As we're examining this passage, each of us have different things that we're caught with. And so I just went blank on all three of what y'all just said. And so your main point was
Scripture.
Your main point was
the wilderness after the
after baptism. And your main points, Shelley?
The Satan's tempting.
Okay.
Always, yeah.
Do you see how all three of us reading the same thing heard the same passage, and yet God spoke to us each on different levels of where we're at? And that is the beauty and the power of the Word of God. We need to be able to recognize that as we are communicating the Word of God, as we are seeking to make disciples, as we are wanting people to know the Lord, that everyone's going to be responding to the passage differently than maybe what we may be responding to it. And so that is a key thing we want to take into account as we're going through it. As we are looking at this, I want us to just hone in for the last few minutes. How was Satan attacking Jesus' identity? I want us to think on that. How was he attacking Jesus' identity? And we've got about 2 minutes left to think on that.
So I think with the if.
The if is huge.
If you are the Son of God.
If you are the Son of God. All right. So Satan is coming and putting what would possibly be an opportunity for doubt, right?
Oh, yeah.
In our lives, I want you to think about, how does Satan put before you questions or statements that challenge you about your identity in Christ?
And he does that, absolutely.
Okay, because this is the first thing he did with Jesus in the temptations. If you are the Son of God, it is a questioning of identity and God. And as we are walking and trying to move forward as disciples in Christ, the way we are going to be challenged is our identity. It is going to be, he's going to come out of it. You're not good enough. You really didn't believe. Your salvation didn't take. Maybe you need to do it again. Maybe you need to do it 10 times because and once wasn't good enough. Right. Yeah. I mean, it just, you know, he will come after our identity with a fierce attack. It's what he did to Jesus, and we can know without a doubt that if it's what he did to Christ, that's what he's going to do to us. The first thing that's going to be attacked when we seek to become a disciple of Christ, to believe that Jesus truly did die on the cross for our sins, we know our identity is going to have attack.
So I think that's really important in discipleship.
Make completely
sure completely when you're mentoring,
yes,
they know who they are in Christ.
And I think that can even come across with the question of not believing or doubting God's love for us.
Yes.
So it's phrased a different way. Okay.
Yes. Anything that will challenge your relationship with God. Okay. We're so glad you're listening. We're going to be talking about how to become a disciple in Christ over the next few weeks. And we're wanting to grow as a disciple. Come join us. God bless.